We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, g'day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Jimmy Clark with Today in Ag. Currently, it is 86 degrees here at the Elk City Maisonette, and 91 is the heat index. Southwest wind, 7 miles an hour with gusts up to 10. Humidity is 10 miles an hour. I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you coming up here shortly at Woodward. Looks like it is, if this is correct, come on, there we go. It's showing 81 degrees, winds are calm, humidity's 58, and we got all kinds. Let's see what's going on all around our listening area as far as temperature-wise. Winter gets to be fun in here. Where you got blizzards going on, winds going on, but according to the Maisonette, Woodward's actually 86 degrees. Lapout, you're 87. Buffalo's 87. Freedom, you're 81. Hollis, Oklahoma, 87. Hobart's 85. And let's see here. Shamrock and Wheeler, you're at 86 degrees. Anyways, it's Friday. It's the last day of the week. It's holiday weekend. There will not be a show Monday, FYI. We'll have the ag updates Monday morning, but the markets will be closed, so it'll be just the closing from today on Friday. The Today in Ag text line is open at 580-225-9697. You got anything that needs to be let out there that the agriculture community needs to know about, feel free to let me know. And again, Hobart will not be having their sheep and goat sale at the Hobart Stockyards tomorrow. It will be a week from tomorrow, September 10th at 11 a.m. So don't be showing up at Hobart this afternoon with your sheep or your goats, because they're going to be there a week. And I'm sure Rex will just ask you kindly, take them right back home with you. Anyway, Elk City Livestock Auction is going on right now, and I had results from the Woodward Livestock Auction coming up for you in our next segment. So let's get on with the grains report. Here's the grain futures. Corn, September, 668. Everything's back in the green today, which is good. December is 666, March is 672, May is 673. Soybean, September 1507, November is 1417, January is $14.22 a bushel. Soybean meal, September is $447.50 a short ton. October is $422.80. December is $416.60. Soybean oil, September, 70.98 cents a pound. October, 67.22 cents a pound. Soybean oil for December is 65.61. Hard red winter wheat, September, $8.80 a bushel, and December is 8.79. Oats, September, 3.86. They bottomed out today. December is 3.74. Cotton, October, 1.13. December, 1.08. Let's see what the cash grain prices are doing in Texas and in Oklahoma. Hard red winter wheat at the elevator today is $8.31. It's up actually 11. Corn is 7.42. It's up 8. Milo 6.77. It's also up 8. And soybeans for cash is $14.44, and it's up 24. Well, let's see what's causing all the ruckus around here. Well, anyway, we won't see what's going on. But Corn, soybeans, and wheat rebounded overnight after corn and wheat touched one-week lows on Thursday. The crop markets are following the movement in the financial markets as investors keep an eye on the U.S. jobs data and further interest rate hikes. The market will also be watching corn and soybean harvest progress as it picks up around the country. Recent crop tours, the USDA Crop Progress Report, and other yields checks have offered contrasting assessments of crop conditions in recent years. Recent weeks, advisors say hot and dry weather is reducing yield potential for corn and soybeans across 30% of the Corn Belt. The USDA's Economic Research Service released new data Thursday, pegging anticipated 2022 net farm income at $147.7 billion. That's a 5.2% increase from 2021. Much of the anticipated growth is driven by an increase in cash receipts, forecasted to surge 21.2% from 2021 to $525.3 billion this year. While cash receipts overall are expected to increase in 2022, lower direct government payments and higher production expenses are expected to moderate income growth, said the report. Direct government payments from are forecast to fall by $12.8 billion and 49.7% from 2021 to $13 billion in 2022. And that's kind of last, earlier this year, I reported on that deal from the USDA where subsidy payments were over the next 2 to 3 years were going to decrease significantly. So everybody needs to get ready for that because subsidy payments are going to be cut back according to the report they put out earlier this year. But we got the new farm bill coming out next year, so we'll see what happens. Anyway, minor flooding caused by excessive rainfall is expected in a portion of northeast Oklahoma this morning and into this afternoon. Doppler radar from the National Weather Service indicates thunderstorms have produced heavy rainfall. Precipitations total between 2 to 4 inches that are expected. Thursday's drought monitor report indicated much of the impacted area, including Creek, Ogemaukee, Tulsa and Wagner counties, are currently suffering from a D2 severe drought or worse. Cattle in the area are stressed, dry land crops are severely reduced, and pasture growth is stunted. Nationwide, 224.5 million acres of crops are experiencing drought, said the National Integrated Drought Information System on Thursday. Over 26 million beef cattle are experiencing drought across 646 U.S. counties. Well, I got the drought monitor up here, the new one that came out. Let's talk about that for a second before we go to our first break. And I was looking at the overall U.S. monitor, drought monitor, and there's not near as much red, and especially dark red, on there as there was a week ago or even a month ago. In Oklahoma, there's still quite a bit. Everything basically south of I-40 is in the red, the D3. There's an area down there in Jackson, Tillman, and Hollis County, or Harmon County, that is in the D4 still. I don't know what these rains this week has done. We'll figure it out next week to the drought monitor. There was actually some really good rains. They were spotted, but rains all over western Oklahoma last night. I seen a friend of mine posted on Burns, that lives south of Burns Flat. He had flooding going on there, and I think I got 6/10 last night and 6/10 the night before down there on the corn at Granite, which is good. And I got a little more rain out there in the breaks of Willow, which will take rain anytime in the breaks because it's out there in the breaks. It's just way lower the rainfall totals per year out there than there is probably anywhere in the state of Oklahoma, but maybe the panhandle of Oklahoma. Looks like northern Oklahoma, up around Buffalo and Freedom, you still are in a D3 as of right now. And most of the Texas, the Oklahoma Panhandle is in the red with a little bit of stuff right there south of Boise, still in the D4. Texas Panhandle out there, you guys are looking really good. You're either in a D0, D1, or there's a little bit of D2 going on out there. But you guys got some, especially around Amarillo in that way, you got some really good rains in the last month, so everything's looking good. But I know a lot of people, and especially in Northwestern and North Central, and some out in Western Oklahoma on dryland crops like corn, milo, and all that stuff, they're cutting it down just to make hay out of it because it didn't have a chance. We had an early 100 degrees little couple weeks there, and then again in July was terrible. So anyway, everything's looking pretty good now, but getting ready for put the fall crops in. We'll touch on that here in a little bit. Well, when I come back, I'll have your cattle futures, and we'll talk about what happened at Woodward yesterday with the big calf sale. Remember, no sheep and goat sale at Hobart tomorrow, no sale at the Hollis Livestock Auction, and Wednesday or Monday there will be no sale at the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, but everything will get back to normal with the cow and bull sale Tuesday at Woodward.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. HiPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local HiPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
And we've seen it in our own operation, and we've heard other people tell it too. You go out when it's 105 degrees outside, and you look around, and the black cows are standing in the pond or in the shade trees, and the red cows are out grazing. The red hide color, the cow's going to stand out and eat during the heat of the day. She's not going to be laying under the shade tree and be up eating all night or not putting on weight. When it's been raining and the grass is 3 foot tall, they're going to be out eating all day long. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers. It's heavier steel. They're built better. They're tough. They've got rubber flooring, every kind of amenity that you can think of in a ranch trailer. They're framed in differently so that you're not having crackouts and breaks in the trailer frame. Their tires come 18 ply. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. The name of our business is Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246. 303-4246.
Good afternoon, great stewards of the land. Drew Cobb here with your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, August 26th. 2,481 head were sold. 16 head of steers at 328 brought 233. 5 at 425 brought 217. 11 at 486 brought 205. 6 at 530 brought 182. 3 at 550 brought 185. 8 at 589 brought 182. 11 at 774 brought 151.50. 3 head of heifers at 298 brought 180. 8 at 467 brought 190. 6 at 494 brought 160. 9 at 536 brought 161, 11 at 582 brought 166, 5 at 602 brought 167, 14 at 971 brought 130. Butcher cows were 8 to 103.50, butcher bulls brought 74 to 120, bred cows were 685 to 1525, pairs brought 1250 to 1650. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. Tick and sign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Currently here at the Gabe Gadget Mezzanet in my studio that I'm looking at right now, 88.7 degrees. Humidity is 51%, and the winds are basically calm around our listening area, which has way expanded. 89 is at Beaver, 88 at Slapout, 88 at Buffalo, 87 at the capital of Harmon County, Hollis, 87 at Altus, and 85 at Bessie. The coolest place in western Oklahoma right now happens to be Alva, 83 degrees, and it is 87 degrees at Shamrock and 88 at Wheeler. Anyway, well, let's check out some of the futures on cattle. Come on, turn around. There we go. Live cattle for October is up 144.37. December is 150.05. February is 154.22. April is 157.92. Feeder cattle for September, 183.80. October is 185. For feeder cattle, lean hogs are all the hogs are in the red today, all every month. 89.87 for October. December is 82.42, and February is 86.42. Well, before we go over some of the reports from Woodward Livestock Auction yesterday, in the Today in Ag page in the Penny News that come on hot off the press yesterday morning. If you hadn't picked your copy up, get it and you can read this story. But I want to read this story that Jerry Nine wrote in here because it's pretty comfortable what's going on. This market has to be pulling cattle early off grass a lot because of the price, but also the dry weather is equally moving through early. And I know you guys, I'm throwing this in here. Things have greened up in most areas, not all areas around western Oklahoma, northwest, southwest, doesn't matter, and out in the Texas Panhandle. But this drought's still going on, and keep that in mind. Just because the grass is green doesn't mean we're out of the hot water yet. Also, I see more calves being sold off cows earlier than usual, and we've been talking about that the last couple weeks. And the number of open cows we are seeing is extremely high. I hear several say the reason is early heat that has lasted most of the summer. One thing you may need to be careful about is now is I know of two ranchers that have lost cattle because of toxic Johnson grass or any other sorghums that are out there that are toxic. We have been getting rains, and as our OSU Extension educator from Beckham County was on the show a couple weeks ago, be sure, give it at least 10 days, if not 2 weeks. Get it tested, and you know the tests are not always accurate, but they give you some kind of idea. But at least give it 2 weeks before you turn any cattle or cut any hay down, because it's probably still going to be hot. It takes that long for it to get out of there. One rancher lost 5 head. I know a rancher here just west of Elk City. He lost one, and it seems like the other lost about 15 heads. So be careful out there with that Johnson grass, any other even sorghums that you're planting out in the field that's dry land can still be toxic. Normally you have a problem if it is dry and then you get moisture for a quick growth, or at least that's what I've always heard, and he's correct. I know I've heard of a cow's head go through the fence and one bite, the head is still through the fence. Now that is toxic, and it is, I've seen it. Some say that cows didn't come into heat cycle, while others say the ground may have been too hot as far as the bull laying on the ground and the semen was being cooked. I don't know about those two, but something was going on. Surprisingly to me, packer cows and bulls were a lot higher again this week, and they're still high this week. A lot of those better fleshy cows brought $92 to $1 per pound per hundred weight. We sold a bull for 119 per hundred weight. So that was what Mr. Jerry said. Well, let's check out what he had going on there yesterday. 3,257 head, compared to 3,153 head last week. And last year, you had 2,993 come through the Woodward's sale there. Compared to last week, feeder steers were $1 to $3 lower. Feeder heifers were unevenly steady. Steer and heifer calves mostly steady depending on flesh and weaning conditions. Quality average, demand was moderate, but a weaker undertone was noted on unweaned fleshy calves. Supply included 100% feeder calf, and feeder cattle supply over 600 pounds was 46% yesterday, so almost half of the calves were over 600 pounds. Well, let's check out some of the steer prices. Let's start with some three weights, 334 pounds. We're bringing anywhere from 214 to 250, 221.42 was the average. Here we had some unweaned calves that were basically the same weight at 335. We're bringing 225 to 226. We got some 383-pounders brought up to 222, and we had some 369-pounders that were unwinged brought up to 220.41. We get into the 400-pound range. Let's do some 422s, big load there, brought up to 225 a pound, and some another big load of unwinged that weighed 418, brought up to 224. Get on down here in the 500-pound range. We had some 527s brought up to $1.89. Some 528-pounders that were unweaned brought up to $1.89. So no difference there. Get down in the 600-pound range on the steers. We got 637-pounders are bringing 170 to 184. And then we had some 627 weights. That were unwinged, they were bringing $1.73 to $1.88. So not a lot of difference there. Actually, the unwinged, you know, I don't know what the quality of the calves was on the weight-wise. I'm just going off of weight here, and that can make a lot of difference too. 600-pounders, heavier ones, 666. I was thinking the 666 Ranch and off of Yellowstone. But anyway, they had 169 to 186 is what they were bringing. We had some 654-pounders that were unwinged, or bringing up to $1.78. So that's when these 600-pound steers and ups where you start noticing the difference, which should be on the versus the weaned versus the unwinged. How's that? 700-pounders, 721s up to $1.83.50. Then were winged. Unwinged was $7.13, $1.65.66. So there's almost 12 cents difference in being winged and unwinged. Get up into the 800 pounders. We had some that weighed 838. We're bringing up to $1.74. And then we had some 824 pounders unwinged, brought $1.58. They had some 1,000 pounders that was bringing up to almost $1.60, $1.59.25. On the heifer side of the deal, let's check that out real quick. Your 300 pounders, we had some weighed 346, brought $1.94. A big load of unweaned heifers brought up to $1.84. And then some 379s brought $1.91. On your 400 pounders, we got some winged that was bringing up to $1.81 and some unwings up to $1.83. And then get down in the 500-pound range. We got 527-pounders bringing up to $1.76 that were winged, and unwings were bringing $1.75. Head on down here into the 600-pound range, and we got 634s bringing up to $1.61. Some unweaned heifers at 624 bringing up to $1.57. Check out 800 pounders here real quick. Looks like anything over 600 pounds is bringing somewhere between $1.56 to $1.65, $1.75, somewhere in there. So there's pretty even out. So there is your deal. We had some cutter bulls, a bunch of them unwinged. Go over a couple of those real quick. Some big load of 400 pounders with average 415 on their weight, brought up to 225. And we had another big load that weighed 561 of cutter bulls unwinged. We're bringing up to $1.80. So there's your report from Woodward yesterday. All right, when we get back, we're going to talk some farming, some ranching. No telling what else we're going to talk to about. So anyway, I'll be right back after this.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction for sale last Tuesday, August 30th. We sold 1,392 cows, bulls, and kids. Thursday, September the 1st, we sold 3,257 kids and feeders for a total of 4,649 cattle for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows bring 84 to 95. Thin cows bring 60 up to 85. Bulls bring 86 to 123. One thing you'd like selling at Woodward, our cow and bull buyers do not buddy up. Makes a very good market. Two-day-year-old bred cows, $1,075 to $1,400. Two-day-year-old pairs, $1,300 to $1,575. Hunter steer cattle, three 50-weight steers, $214 to $250. Four to $450, $206 to $225. Five to $550, $180 to $189. Six to $650, $170 to $188. Seven to $750, $167 to $183 and a half. Eight to $850, $167.50 to $174 and a quarter. Nine to $950, $164.50 to $179.35. And 1,050-pound steers, 157 to 159 and a quarter. On them 6 to 650 steers, actually the 188, the highest price was on. Kids off the cows, good one.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Progressive presents Married to Your Home.
I'm disgusting.
Oh, House, don't say that.
You could live someplace so much better than me.
That's not true.
Oh, yeah? Look at these uneven stairs. Gross.
House, you know I don't care.
Ugh, and the squeaky door hinge.
I think it's cute.
No matter how much you already love your house, you'll love it more knowing you could save big bundling your home and auto with Progressive. Coverage from Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and third-party insurers. Bundle discount not available in all states or situations.
Brian Baca is an investment advisor representative of and advisory services offered through Royal Fund Management, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Studies show retirees with a steady paycheck in retirement have better health, reduced anxiety, and potentially live longer. Are you in retirement currently and relying on uncertain stock market returns to generate your paycheck for the rest of your life? Geopolitical events, out-of-control inflation, record fuel prices all create negative pressure on your nest egg. Taking income out of your portfolio while it's going backwards and paying taxes creates extreme stress on your nest egg, not to mention the stress and anxiety to you personally. Monthly bills need consistent monthly income without putting your nest egg in jeopardy. Let us help you create a predictable, consistent paycheck without the worry of future income reduction due to negative market returns. Schedule a personal meeting with us today and let us show you how we can potentially reduce the anxiety and create more certainty in your uncertain world. Give Brian or Briley Baca at Advanced Financial Strategies a call. Give us a call today at our office in Clinton, 323-6800, 323-6800, or check out our website, retirewithbaca.com.
Simply put, Simon's Catch Restaurant in Elk City is Western Oklahoma's number one choice for delicious dining. Simon's Catch features all-you-can-eat farm-fresh catfish, family recipe shrimp, USDA choice steaks, and mouth-watering desserts, including cheesecake and brownie pie. Make dinner tonight simple. Simon's Catch Restaurant in Elk City. From I-40, exit 34, go 1.5 miles south and 1.5 miles west. Simon's Catch Restaurant open at 5 Wednesday through Saturday and at noon on Sunday.
The Depot Trading Company Men's and More Store is having a Labor Day sale, 20% off all t-shirts and denim. Plus, they have tough enough to wear pink short sleeve and long sleeve shirts just in time for the rodeo. Step inside one of Elk City's newest stores in one of Elk City's oldest buildings, and you'll find men's clothing, a couple women's lines, plus the most unique men's gifts, barbecue grills, spices, accessories, and outdoor party gear. And you can order online through their Facebook page. The Depot Trading Company Men's and More Store, 318 South Main Street, downtown Elk City.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Degrees here at the Elk City Gabe Gadget Mezzanet. That's what I call it. We're in the upper 80s pretty much for all of western Oklahoma, northwest, southwest, west central, Texas Panhandle. The eastern part of it's in the upper 80s. Looks like the hot spot right now is 90 degrees at Beaver, Oklahoma. And down there at Hollis, they're right behind them in 89. So anyway, it's warming up out there. I think we're highs today is supposed to get up to 94. Yep. Man, it looks like it. Around 94 degrees here in the Elk City area anyway. I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you coming up for you for the southwestern part of Oklahoma. But right now, I'm going to do the northwestern part Long Ranger forecast. Today, around the Woodward area and that area up in there, 95 degrees for a high. 20% chance of rain tonight, 66 for a low. Saturday, 91. Another 20% chance of showers tomorrow. Sunday, 88. Labor Day day, 89. And Tuesday, it will be 89 degrees in the northwestern part of Oklahoma. So there's that report for you. Well, let's see what else we got going on. You know, farmers, fall planting is upon us, and we all know that. I've already seen drills rolling around here. Matter of fact, one of the guys that was supposed to be playing in the scramble last night for the big pot, he didn't show up because he was out sowing some wheat. Fall planting is upon us. Some farmers still are unsure of what to plant, especially now if their summer crops were harvested as a forage. While the option is to leave it fallow, it also there's always an option most likely will be eager to get another crop going as soon as possible. In addition to wheat for either pasture or grain, there's also some other small grain options such as Truticale. Some people call it Truticale. I call it Truticale. Sometimes I can't even spell it. So anyway, rye, barley, oats, winter canola, there's still viable options, especially for farms with a known weed problem. Cereal grain can be a good option for fall grazing pasture with some early spring pasture, but typically will hit its first hollow stem sooner than wheat, and it does. It performs well in sandy and slightly more soils with compared to wheat. In addition to good fall forage potential, rye also will continue to grow more in the winter months compared to wheat. Feral rye is a major weed risk for wheat rotations because there are no known herbicide control options and conventional wheat. Now, I know lots of years been going on. People have been going out there and they'll see that because that rye will be taller than wheat. They'll be going out there and cutting that head off with scissors, but it's just funny to watch. But anyway, Truticale is crossed between wheat and rye. Therefore, it's a good balance of fall and spring forage potential. Truticale can be a little more sporadic when it hits first hollow stem, but usually it will be later than wheat in my experience. It can be a little harder to find seed, but it's getting better as acres have increased. It's fairly tall and as it matures, and lodging has been a small concern for some that grow it. Most producers are familiar with spring oats, but most varieties also can be planted in early fall to achieve a high-yielding forage before a killing frost. There are some winter oat varieties out there that can survive most winters in this region, but a harsh winter can greatly reduce stands and potential spring forage growth. Both spring and winter oats typically perform better on good ground with favorable growing conditions, and as they can be more drought sensitive compared to other small grains. Winter barley, they spelt it barely though, but it's barley is another option to achieve good fall pasture. Barley can produce a great and high quality forage while having some drought and heat tolerance. If planted too late in the fall, other small grains like rye, Truticale, and wheat will have a higher probability to produce more overall forage than the rest of the season. And there you go. Because I know you've been thinking about what you're going to do. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Because now we got some moisture in the ground right now, but we're going to need some more. And lots of grasshoppers out there. getting reports of army worms, and so out there. So be careful with what you're doing out there. I noticed the guys that I've seen planting wheat already, they're up high on a hill, or they're surrounded by short pasture grasses where there's no weeds in the fence rows, so there's probably not a lot of grasshoppers, but that's not going to stop army worms. So if you get it up, keep an eye on it, because it's going to them army worms can wipe some stuff out in a hurry, I'm telling you. All right, it's rodeo weekend around Elk City this weekend. The Elk City Rodeo of Champions, I think it's the 84th one, I believe. I don't know. I didn't look at the deal. But anyway, it's been here a while. It's been here since I'm a kid, and I'm 60. And it's this weekend. It starts tonight and tomorrow night and Sunday night. And they got a big parade tomorrow here in Elk City. I think it starts at 10 o'clock. They backed it off a couple of years ago to get out of the heat, and it's probably going to be a little warm there tomorrow. Anyway, that's going on. And then the Shortgrass, Sayre Shortgrass Rodeo is going to be happening in 2 weeks at Sayre. Excited to see a rodeo coming back to Sayre, Oklahoma. If there's some other rodeos going on out there that I don't know about, please don't be bashful about texting into the Today and Ag text line at 580-225-9697, and I will be more than gladly to tell everybody about it. PBR Cowboys for a Cause at the iconic King Ranch to air actually on CBS this weekend. 2-hour network television broadcast this weekend is crazy. The Professional Bull Riders have announced that its annual charitable Cowboys for a Cause event will take place at the iconic King Ranch and will be carried on CBS Television Network as a special 2-hour broadcast on Sunday, September 4th, from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Get that on your calendar. That rodeo is really good to watch. Charitable donations for the PBR and its partners through the event will support conservation and sustainability efforts across the state of Texas, to include gift to the Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association. The donation to TSCRA will be distributed for multiple local and rural fire departments that will help landowners fight wildfires across Texas earlier this year. This is awesome. This is right down my driving lane. I love people doing stuff for firefighters, because I got one going over at Clinton here. I'll announce in a second. Cowboys for a Cause 2022 will feature 8 teams of 3 bull riders competing in a 2-round non-points event. After the 3 riders on each team attempt 1 bull in the first round of competition, the 3 teams with the top score will advance to the championship round, when each rider for every remaining team in the competition will get on 1 bull apiece. The team with the highest score, it's an aggregate score, in that final round will be the event champion in a winner-take-all finish. Bull riders selected by coaches in the PBR Team Series, a new league for 8 teams that launched in late July, heading into the championship in November, will represent the Boot Barn, Kubota, Lucas Oil, that's one of the team names, and they're from Oklahoma, South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa, Steelhouse Vodkas, Union Home Mortgage, and the Wrangler, and the Zip Recruiter. And they're out of Missouri. We are excited to see the host at the PBR Cowboys for a Cause charity at the King Ranch, said Robert Hogders, CEO of the King Ranch. An event greater is an honor to be a partner with the PBR and the Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raiser Association in demonstrating our appreciation to the many local fire departments that helped us fight fires earlier in 2022 during this historical drought. Supporting the local communities where our employees live and work, a guiding principle for the King Ranch, and make it easy to endorse the whole event. We are honored to be taking the Cowboys for a Cause to the historical King Ranch, the birthplace of American ranching, said Sean Gleason, commissioner and CEO of the PBR. Our sport, built on the hard work of of the hard work of cattlemen and ranchers is closely in line with long-term principles of the King Ranch. So anyway, that's awesome. Anyway, so remember, Sunday, or September 4th, from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, it'll be live air, live on CBS. That's great. That's going to, so if you you can get fired up to go to the Elk City Rodeo Sunday night by watching this Sunday afternoon. Well, back on the text line, I got a text in from some of the firefighters over at Clinton, and they will be on the corners of Highway 183 and Gary Boulevard with their boots, and they want to get your donations for the MDA. It'd be great, because you remember years ago Jerry Lewis had his big telethon. Anyway, it's a great cause, so please stop by, and even if it's a dollar, put it in the firemen's boots there at Clinton today and tomorrow. They'll be there all day today and all day tomorrow. So if you see a fireman out there, please stop and donate, and don't cause no wrecks either. Anyway. Well, when we get back, I'll have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Drew Cobb. This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, August 29th. 1,467 head were sold. 6 head of steers at 370 brought 229. 7 at 484 brought 202. 10 at 565 brought 187. 15 at 647 brought 189.25. 30 at 719 brought 171.50. 19 at 815 brought 171.50. 13 at 966 brought 160. 4 head of heifers at 251 brought 239. 7 at 470 brought 162. 6 at 502 brought 161, 5 at 567 brought 154, 6 at 612 brought 153, 8 at 703 brought 163.50, 8 at 756 brought 160, butcher cows were 3 to 100.5, butcher bulls brought 30 to 123, Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, Exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma, sell every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Why is the Elk City Rodeo so special? We think it's because it features some of the world's best cowboys and cowgirls. We also believe conversation with friends over a burger and a cold drink is pretty enjoyable. And for a few hours, you forget about all life's worries. This is Pro Rodeo announcer Wayne Brooks inviting you to the Elk City Rodeo this weekend. Enjoy America's original extreme sport with Doug Gray Dodge and Ram Trucks. Tickets are on sale at Circle A Westernwear and at the Arena Ticket Office. It's the Elk City Rodeo, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night.
When you have trouble sleeping, it's tough. When kids have trouble sleeping...
Mom, I can't sleep. Dad, just one more story?
For nights like this, try Vicks Pure Z's Kids. Our great-tasting gummies are specially formulated for kids with a unique blend of botanicals and a low dose of melatonin to support their natural sleep cycle. Best of all, they're drug-free and non-habit-forming. Help your child fall asleep naturally with Pure Z's Kids Gummies. Consult with a doctor before use for ages 4 and up.
Right now, hay coverage is a big deal. You know, price of hay right now is very expensive. The ability to get hay right now, and when people get their hands on it, it's probably one of the most expensive assets that they have in their operation right now. And we can insure that hay for fire. I know there's been a lot of wildfires, and people have a concern for that. And then if you're an existing customer with us and you have a farm and ranch policy, you know, people need to understand that's not something that's automatically included. They would need to call and let our office know what coverage they need for their hay, and we can add that onto their farm and ranch policy. We can insure hay on a standalone policy, which is something that maybe some others don't offer. Even if you don't have business with us currently, we can write hay insurance.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Once that gets in your blood, you're not going to get it out. Once you are ate up with cattle, farming, agriculture, it's a hard drug to kick. You're putting a crop out there, you're turning your cows out, and watching what you do grow, and watching the things that you take care of, things you care for, move on with their life cycle. Just seeing a result from your hard work. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Jim is all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, let's check out the forecast here. We got 89 currently at the Elk City Mezzanet, 93 degrees is the heat index, and let's do our southwestern Oklahoma long ranger forecast. Well, it looks like we got a few chances of rain just like up northwest. Today, partly sunny, 93. Tonight, 68 for a low, 20% chance of thunderstorms. Tomorrow, 20% chance of thunderstorms and a high humidity. How's that? Anyway, tomorrow night, 65. That's almost hoodie weather. Anyway, Sunday, 87 for a high. Labor Day, 87. And Monday night, 65. And Tuesday will be 86 degrees. So it looks, besides tonight, looks like the rodeo and the parade here at Elk City. Looks like you got some fabulous weather for all this to come about. So anyway, good rhythm. Let's check out some air temperatures just around our listening area here. It looks like just about the same. Everybody's in the high 80s. Looks like Buffalo and Hollis, you're the hottest temperatures in basically the whole state at 90 degrees. So anyway, we got to do. I was looking, you know, we're airing live on KWFX 100.1 up at Woodward, and I was looking at their coverage area today, and the Gabe printed out for me. That's pretty awesome. Looks like we got some people up there in Kansas might even be listening, because that's going to be fun this football season, because I might be an ag man, but I like to talk trash when it comes to K-State. OSU, I'm an OU fan, but believe me, I love all the teams in the Big 12. But K-State, OSU, Texas A&M, Texas Tech, I will talk some trash with you guys this fall with football season. So don't be offended. It's just trash talk. And I don't talk trash on Texas Longhorns anymore, even though I will show the horns down sign on like Facebook Live and on our internet, just like I am right now, horns down. I fin some of the Texas Longhorn cattle raisers around here. They misunderstood me. I was trash talking on what's his name down there at Austin, and they thought I was messing with their cattle. So I'm not. I wasn't making fun of your cattle. So anyway, but it's good. Might have some K-State fans in here. Boys from Manhattan, we'll have some fun with it. Like I said, you can text in. I'm not going to take no live calls in. You can text in and talk trash right back to me if you want. I got a couple things to correct from yesterday's show. I think we said the wrong dates on the Greer County Free Fair, and it's actually September 8th through the 10th at that. And then I had a person text in on the show yesterday to tell me that the pizzas was going to be at the Elk City Co-op, Farmers Co-op, tomorrow. Correction, a week from tomorrow. Get there early. I think they sold out the first time they come through in August before 8 a.m. So if you want to get there, you might as well. What you need to do is get you a, have you a peach party. You know, kind of like you go pre-game party. Come out there about 3 o'clock in the morning. Get you some beverages, water, Dr. Pepper, or adult beverages, what you want to do, and go out there and just make some peach jam up or something in the parking lot out there, so you're the first ones in the parking lot. Just have some fun with it. Make this fun. You're gonna need to be there about 5:30 or 6 anyway, so you might as well get up early and have some fun. But a correction to the Greer County Free Fair dates, it is September 8th through the 10th. And I'm correcting that right now. So anyway, but welcome again to all you people up in the Northwest and around Higgins and up in Beaver and Buffalo and Laverne and all in that area. We will be in the near future talking about dove season, hunt seasons, any hunt season, turkey, quail, White-tailed deer, the whole works. You guys got some mule deer up in that area and some antelope. So anyway, you feel free to text in and be part of the program. And then I got another text in from one of my favorite fire guys. Elk City Fire Department will be doing their fill the boot tomorrow before the parade at most major intersections here on 3rd Street, probably Main Street. If you could pass that along, and I did, sir. And thanks again for everybody that does the donations for the fire department. It is very appreciative. And this is going to the MDA. This is actually not going to the fire department. So be very generous to the fire department, if you will, please. All right. What else? Well, speaking of K-State, let's see what's going on. At the Kansas Ag Summit, there were some stuff discussed. The Kansas beef sector, cattle sector, generated $8.32 billion in cash receipts in 2020. That's 47% of the state's agriculture cash receipts in just that year. From ranches to backgrounders to feed yards to processing, the Kansas beef cattle industry covers every link in the beef chain. The 2022 Kansas Governor's Summit on Agriculture Growth Beef Sector Pre-Conference Online Breakout Session, that's a big old sentence just to tell me that they had this online, took a look at the beef processing sector's capacity and what this might mean for the future of the Kansas cattle industry. The Kansas Department of Agriculture's IMPLAN, and that's a capital I-M-P-L-A-N, which is the Impact Analyst for Planning, economic model reports the state's beef and cattle industry from the birth to processing has a direct output of $22.4 billion and nearly 75,000 jobs. And in 2021, beef and beef products exports totaled more than $1.8 billion, leading the whole nation in that right there. One of the challenges to the beef cattle sector is processing plant capacity. The pandemic brought attention to the need for more robust local processing sector to complement the major beef packaging facilities. These smaller local processors handle fewer animals, but they are essentially filling in the demand for locally sourced meat. If you guys up north, you're going to learn that I'm big on supporting people that raise beef local, to be processed local. We have all kinds of new processors that have been added on to our existing ones. I mean, we got Keith's Butcher Shop. We got the new one over at Sayre, Route 66. We got the one at Shamrock. We got the one at Altus. We got the Butcher Block in Canute, another new one. And there's one at Thomas now, and I think there's one out at Wheeler now. I haven't found out much about the one at Wheeler, but I will be finding out. And so you guys got some processors up there in around Woodward or any area up in that area that's listening right now that you want me to talk about on my show. I love talking about the processors because the big thing is there's plenty of people raising beef around Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle that you can buy local, put it in your own freezer, and just get her done. Anyway, one of the, Glenn Tossner, I think I said that right, assistant professor at Ag Economics at K-State University, home of the Wildcats, football season has started, I'm sorry, spoke during the online sector breakout session. He explained that when there are too many cattle relative to the packing capacity, there's a wider price difference between live cattle and boxed beef prices. There are a few factors that go into the capacity equation, but to start, the availability of labor in the plants can mean the difference between running the plant at top capacity or at a lower figure, he said. Capacity, it's just not a matter of building new plants or expanding existing ones. He continued, listed 13 different packing plant construction or expansion announcements that are to be completed in the next 3 to 5 years. And I know there's one great big one going in on out here at Woodward, or not Woodward, but Amarillo. He cautioned cattle producers, though, that a lot can happen between an announcement and the first delivery of cattle. For starters, will there be enough cattle to recoup through the cost to put up the facility, the permitting, the sourcing of labor? It's not sufficient just to build the facility. You need cattle to run through it and people to operate it. It's definitely a challenge and an opportunity for the Kansas cattle producers to work through is the future. And I noticed Walmart has actually invested in a big packing plant up in North Platte, Nebraska. So they're wanting to make sure they get beef to the Walmart stores. Anyway, so there's all kinds of things going on, but he said, looks like everything is moving forward, but we'll see what happens with all these cattle numbers we got going on, because a lot of people have culled a lot of cattle, cows, mama cows, because of this drought, which you can't beat, blame them. And so we'll just see what the numbers. It looks like 2014-15 all over in the works, basically, according to some cattle people that I've talked to. Anyway, you guys have a great weekend. Remember, the Elk City Rodeo starts tonight. Rodeo of Champions starts here in Elk City tonight. You guys come from all over the United States to watch this rodeo. Anyway, you guys have a great weekend. This is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, and God bless.
KEZO, Elk City.